What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype. This is episode 206. We're going to dive into some of the grading companies, HGA, with some new news. We're going to talk about cards, talk about grading, PSA, CRAT 6.5. We're going to talk about all this stuff. We're also going to bring back Guess That Price, so get ready, guys. That one's always fun. We haven't done it in a while. I think I'm going to take these guys down like I always do, and we're going to have some fun conversations. Also, Bowman Chrome just released, so get your breaks at mojobreak.com. We got PYT hobby cases. We have PYT HTA cases. We also have it available on mojobreakshop.com. If you're looking for your sealed wax, check it out. You got great deals on upcoming wax, Pokemon, all the sports. Check it out at mojobreakshop.com. I got to know, C-Rat, how is it being 2-0 as a Raiders fan? Because it doesn't happen very often.
Amazing. Literally amazing.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's already got a Super Bowl. Well, L.A., it's like you don't have to go too far. You know what I mean? You got that already ready to go. You got your trip booked.
Man, it can be a Rams Raiders Super Bowl.
That would be terrible.
I was telling people on stream that we're going undefeated, baby. That's what it is.
Derek Carr, the resurgence. We got to give Vegas Dave. Vegas Dave, he just knows everything, right?
How does he do it?
It's incredible that he has all that big Derek Carr collection. I was seeing RPAs going for over 7K now, you know, and I think he had 88 out of the 99 of them or something like that. He's got quite a collection. Derek Carr, man, all he needed was a change of scenery. Just get out. I know you love Oakland, but, you know, he goes to Vegas and it's
You make those small incremental upgrades year to year. You would hope that a team would finally get to a place where not only are you healthy, a little bit more healthy, but, you know, like the pieces that you've been putting together actually work out. And, you know, like it is, like you said, it's rare that we start 2-0 and against good teams too. They haven't been against like super whack teams. So
and without your starting running back last week, Josh Jacobs out,
amazing.
And you know, all of us in this room are 2-0 because we play for our teams. So we're all 2-0. So very rare can we sit here as a football fans.
First time in
the hype history, maybe
the hype history, 100%. I actually don't know if there's been a stretch where our teams have won 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know for facts, Raiders, that's not the case.
And Niners don't win. The Niners have been terrible last year. Terrible.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of injuries, 32.
You can't blame it on it. Next man up is what they say. Next man up.
Well, at some point, I was called to play for the 49ers.
What were you doing out there?
They didn't. Made the team.
They needed a lefty?
Yeah, they needed they bring back Steve Young. That's what they said, a lefty. But Cody, how do you feel about the Niners season so far?
Feeling good.
Yeah.
2-0.
2-0.
I mean, I know that half the roster is now on the injured reserve, but I don't know.
Next man up.
No excuses.
Who is the running back now?
I don't know.
I think Elijah Mitchell's still.
Kerryon.
I should know.
Kerryon Johnson.
I think Elijah Mitchell's still okay, right?
Yeah, I think he's.
I think he's still healthy.
Kerryon Johnson. Anybody going to talk to me about Brandon Ayuk and what is going on? Give me the insight.
Nobody knows.
Did they move on?
I think that Brandon Ayuk clearly did something. I don't know. I think he keyed Kyle Shanahan's car during training camp.
I think he did something. He did something really, really bad.
No, here's what's going, guys, is that they're waiting to unleash him. They're letting people get tape on Debo, and they're like, oh, yeah? We're going to unleash Ayuk this week, all right? Ayuk's going to have 200 yards
this
week.
Didn't he get a pass?
He caught one pass, yeah. He did. Yeah, and it was a pivotal first down play. He had great hands.
I think the week before, he actually was out there for one play.
Yep.
Yeah. One play.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he showed up late to practice.
I don't know why he's in the doghouse. It's weird.
I don't know either.
I know. His cards were definitely on the rise from last year, being a rookie from last year. One of the guys in that same category with Jefferson and some of the other receivers. So, but football, yeah. I mean, we should almost
Van Jefferson.
Never heard of him. But we should have popped the champagne today for the 2-0. You know, just bring it for episode 206.
Actually, I was counting down to 300. I'm looking forward to 300 again.
300.
Like we did the 200. What do we do for 300? Let's plan it out now.
Vegas, baby.
Yep. Live from the
Cancun. If we can't do that.
Internet might be a little spotty.
Yeah, maybe.
But we can try it.
There's a few places that we went. I think they might let us host episode 300. One place that we went to twice, they might let us host it.
All right. On to the next slide.
Hey, live. Let's just put it out there now. Live 300 in front of fans. Let's do it. I'm all for it. I'm 100% game.
Yeah, I mean, they even have, I mean, we could have bought our champagne from a light up menu, but it would have been pretty cool. Anyways, episode 300, only, what?
Only 94
94
away.
To go. Let's try to do some quick math.
94 weeks from now.
Let's talk some Bowman Chrome because it released today. And for those that collect baseball, there's three different releases for Bowman. You got your flagship Bowman that comes out, usually has a big name, like one big name, like this year was Austin Martin. And then you have Bowman Draft, which comes out at the end of the year. So we're still waiting on 2021 Bowman Draft. Usually includes a lot of first rounders, majority of the first rounders. They usually hold out that one big guy for the next Bowman. And then you got Bowman Chrome, which is kind of a lot of the international signings, as well as some third, fourth rounders that have maybe been performing. And you know, over the years, a lot of people have said, hey, this is kind of the forgotten about Bowman, it's whatever's left. But there was that one year, 2016, that came, that we had Soto, Tatis, and Vlad. And if you look at those prices, literally insane. And Soto was kind of the dark horse. Nobody really knew much about Juan Soto. Nobody was collecting Soto back then. And if you look at his card, he looks like he's like 98 pounds. And now he's, you know, obviously grown into his body, and he's a World Series champion. And so there's a lot of like what ifs when it comes to Bowman. And that's the beauty of it, is we've got the picture of Luis Rodriguez here. He's kind of the big name out of the gate. But there's a lot of hitters in this year's Bowman Chrome. So it's one of those things where you're pulling the card and you're like, I have no clue who this guy is. You're kind of just looking at the auto and maybe what position he plays, and you're hoping you're not getting a pitcher. But it's one of those things that you put these cards in a box, and then maybe 2 years from now, he gets called up, and you're like, oh, I remember. I think I have that guy's auto. Tell me a little bit about Bowman Chrome, Dan, and what you love about Bowman
Chrome. You know, the last Chrome release that we had was Topps Chrome, so this actually follows Topps Chrome. And they're around the same price point. Yeah. I actually think Topps Chrome might have been a
more
little
expensive.
Bit more
yeah.
out of the gate. To be honest with you, I think way better value in Bowman Chrome. Again, because of the uncertainty of some of these prospects, players who are really, really young or maybe under the radar in their farm system, and this is going to be their only card. So I think there's great value there. Plus, I mean, you can get, there's some great rookie autos in there. The rookie autos are tough to pull, and you can get what we pulled earlier today, a Mike Trout auto relic. I think that was number to 25. So
it was. Yeah, you could see it on our Instagram, mojobreak_com, for we actually pulled a Luis Rodriguez purple and a Trout out of the same case break of Hobby. It was a lot of fun. We did five cases this morning in 2 hours.
Yeah. And so, and you have two different configurations. You have the Bowman Hobby, which is two autos, two mini boxes. You get your base cards, you get the colored refractors, all that good stuff. And then you have the HTA version of it, which is three cards, three autos, and that's it. I definitely see, even though it's a cheaper product, I actually see the value in the hobby, because you do get the chance at the rookies and the color and that stuff. So what do you think, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the first year, and I'll flip it over to C-Rad. What do you think initially, because I know you just popped in, what do you think people are gravitating towards right now, hobby or HTA versions of the Chrome?
I mean, in general, if I'm just going off, you know, previous years, like, it seems like people always do want the HTA more because they want to get straight to the meat and potatoes. They just want the autos, right? But yeah, I get what you guys are saying in terms of being able to get base of these guys as well. You know, like, there's people now, like, obviously, that love to collect base. Yeah, if I had to just guess, I'm thinking still people are going to gravitate towards the HTA more. But you know, we'll see. You know, things change every single year. You can never say year to year what's what, but that would be my guess.
Well, I mean, based on our sales initially, the hobby cases sold faster than the HTA. I think it's one of those things where people are like, well, there's 36 autos. I may not get one, so I won't get anything, right? Especially in a case break. in a break portion. But with the hobby, they're guaranteed some base cards and parallels and golds and orange, all that stuff, right? So I think this year I kind of finally see the changing of the tide, at least from a group break aspect, where it seems like people are leaning more towards the hobby to get some more of the base cards. It's maybe too early to tell. It's also going to see on what kind of autos come out. The HDA has their own versions of some of the parallels, too, with the Mojo Refractors. The black only can be found in HTA. I particularly like to just collect the autos, so I think me personally, I would go with an HTA box if I was buying one. Mm-hmm. But then again, that's a really quick rip on your money, right? You don't. It's not a little slow simmer like the hobby is, where you're opening a pack at a time. It's just a real. And then actually, they don't even have them in the cases anymore.
What do they have them
just
in?
Pack.
Just pack. One pack. Three autos.
Well, from a breaker's perspective, I like that.
Yeah.
From a like card protection perspective, I wonder if it's better.
It's a great top.
Yeah, I mean, it's in. They got it padded around. Not a lot of movement. I mean, it's the same thing as what they would do in, like, remember Topps Chrome Black, where they had just the two packs in there? Mm. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, you may get some people on the forums going, it's conditioned, it's because it's blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe, maybe not. A lot of the conditions are because they're signed,
why didn't
hard
they,
signed.
Why don't they put a couple of dummy cards like that and then pack it up like that?
You could.
You could, yeah.
You could, but then that's more money. That raises the cost of your box.
The great is are we at the great dummy card shortage?
Well, they are
2021?
Made. I'm not a genius, but they are made out of trees, right? So lumber construction, that's all gone up.
We're too. Out of trees.
Yeah, I mean the cost of lumber is going up. If you're trying to build onto your house, you know that it's gonna take a while.
They don't recycle paper anymore?
No. No, I don't know. Maybe they do. They could.
Okay.
But we have a lot of dummy cards. Maybe we can sell them to Tops. We have more than we need. So, but yeah, check
don't
out
say
your
that because we run out of them quick. So
there's gonna be somebody on the comment. I need some, man. Send me them for nothing.
Well,
we can't send them to you, but we do have a lot.
Next time we do an Upper Deck product, let us know.
Yeah, and those ones are thick too.
Upper Deck,
a lot of
they're
tree.
The kings of dummy cards.
Talk true. About wasting, killing trees.
Yeah, they got trees. Speaking of, on a side note, we don't even have a slide for this, but the Upper Deck convention got canceled this year.
Canceled.
So
canceled.
Canceled.
Yep. They didn't feel like they wanted to get a group of people together. So
I get it.
And it was going to be, I think, in LA.
It was going to be in LA. It was going to be in January, and if it was going to be in LA, it goes back and forth between LA and Orlando. So I'm assuming 2022. Will be, no,
2023,
January 2023 will be Orlando.
Yeah.
Back at Disney.
Yeah, maybe nice. I'll make the trip this time. But let's kick it over to Cody. We're going to talk some grading. We're going to talk about grading companies here because there's a lot of options for collectors out there, and there's some new news coming from some of these companies.
Yeah, so I thought this would be a good time to kind of go over the state of grading in the hobby because, you know, this has been a eventful year for grading companies, to say the least. As we sit here right now in September, PSA and BGS still have not announced any sort of formal plans to resume their normal service. And so there's been companies like HGA, SGC, CESG, to name a few, that have tried to fill the void. And let's start off by talking about HGA, who I think right now seems to be the most divisive of these new grading companies to try to fill that void. And I think part of it is, and we've talked about it on the show, is that they are doing things so much differently than anybody else. And they have this whole, like, we're doing it with computers and technology and artificial intelligence. And no one really knows what the hell is actually going on. What is this computer? Is it just, it could just be a monkey in the back of the building, just pushing buttons and smashing buttons.
It like I said before, it could be a Google spreadsheet.
It absolutely
could.
And
that is a computer.
Yes. So this slide, if you're watching us, this first slide does show that, yes, HGA has heard you. September 29th, we are going to get their first video demonstration of their artificial intelligence. Yes.
Pulling back the curtain.
Taking us behind the curtain. As I like to say, we're finding out how the sausage is made.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Love sausage.
I will say this, and I think this opens up a conversation about transparency with these companies. I like the fact that they are clearly have heard people and are showing, like, here's how we do it. At the same time, I don't think this is a live demonstration. This is going to be a recorded video, which is that as transparent as we'd like it to be? I'm not saying that they're going to doctor anything or anything like that, but obviously I think people would really, really feel good if it was like a live video.
They should have Mojo Break go down there and just film a day in the life of HGA.
There you go. No. We're helping you and we get media content.
Where are they located?
I don't know.
Are they located in the Bay Area?
No.
Are they located in California?
No.
All right, I'm not going.
I'm guessing, I mean, most of them are located in Texas. I'm going to guess they're in Texas. Maybe, I don't know.
We can look that up.
Let's just say Texas.
I honestly don't like it. I don't like HGA Slabs, and no disrespect to the company. They're probably doing things on the up and up as far as I can tell. Maybe it's a get off my lawn moment for me, but I just, you know, I see these cards like, and I just, the color, it just doesn't work for me. It's too much for me personally. I'm part of a lot of groups on Facebook that sell cards, and I see them and I just scroll through, to be honest, because I may change my opinion in 5-6 years, and if they're here to stay, I may be like, okay, I see the value in this company. But you know, if PSA gets back to normal and BGS gets back to normal, let's just say in 2 years, hopefully not in 10, but in 2 years, then these guys, I don't think they're going to be getting as many submissions as they're getting now. They're basically like the alternative, like Cody just said, they're the alternative. Because the main two have been backed up, it's allowed these guys to get some of the business. You know, people want to grade these cards, and there's no option. Specifically, you show this Herbert. I mean, if it's like a $100 card and the minimum price for BGS or PSA is $300, well, that doesn't make any sense. But if HGN, I don't know their prices, I'm just spouting it off. If it's $40-$50, then yay, maybe it's worth taking that shot and sending that base card in there. But I just don't like the look of it personally. I don't know if anybody else wants to state their opinion on it.
I will let you know when they do the AI video demo. I've been talking about that for a while. If you're going to promote your brand as being an AI grading company, I think you show everybody what that actually means before you release your product. So I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that it is done somehow by computers. And I think if it's done correctly, I think that is the future of grading.
Yeah. What do you think, C-Red?
So me, I kind of feel the same way that you do, Doug. Regardless of what this video is going to show, I'm just not a huge fan of the way the slab looks itself. I feel like and I've showed this slab compared to the other grading companies, the people that are not in the industry, and they kind of echo the same thing. It's like the actual, you know, tag itself, it doesn't look as premium as some of the other guys, right? Especially the way they do some of the colors sometimes and the designs and stuff. It looks like I could just go on Photoshop real quick, bro, just print this out real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I do, however, with that said, a strategy that I've been doing is certain cards that I want that get graded high on HGA, what I've been doing is I've been buying them because they're way, way cheaper than getting the PSA equivalent version or BGS equivalent version, and I've been getting them cheaper, and then I want to cross them over at some point. So I don't know if that's going to be successful or not, but being able to get cards that I actually want for cheaper is nice.
With all due respect, C-Rad, we're talking about the label itself. How do you feel about PSA's label?
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm not getting into a debate. I just like, but how
no,
do you,
no, no,
how
no.
do you,
dope.
How do you,
no, no, no.
How do you feel dope. About it? You, oh, it's dope.
Yeah.
It's dope.
I agree that yes,
it literally is made on a dot matrix printer.
Okay. Yeah. So, I feel you on that. But
it's got the hologram. It's got a hologram, and it
can't make that a dot matrix. Come on, man.
So
I think it's just a sticker.
It's one of those things. It's like we've seen the PSA for so long. Like, if this was the case for HGA, HGA was in the reverse position, I'd probably feel different. Like, I agree with you. It does.
Yeah, dot matrix.
That's something you can easily...
HGA, like, they got, like, a nice Canon or an Epson. That, like, maybe a laser jet. I'm not sure, but...
Well, and I'm also going to be a devil's advocate on the AI technology here, and I'm going to take, you know, the approach of, well, you know, if you look at baseball, we don't want robotic umps. Like, it just the part of the game is the eye appeal.
depends on who's behind the dish.
No, and I do believe in transparency. I mean, yeah, some games we do want the if it's not going the way for your team, you want the robotic strike zone. But I think the grading still needs to be an element where a human is using their judgment on it. But I do want to see more transparency from these companies of like who graded it. Like, almost like, you know, with umps, I'm going back to the baseball analogy, where there is ump scorecards out there. There is ump scorecards. Like, if you have 100 graders, 200 graders, I know there's a lot more now, maybe have a grade, a card of what this guy's done. How many nines, how many tens has he got? Is this guy giving out too many tens? Is this guy not doing enough tens? Like, I'm more into that than letting a computer do the work. What if Panini or, like, Fanatics down the road just makes perfect cards? Is a computer just going to give every single card a 10? Then it just eliminates the point of grading to me. I think the point of grading is to have another element of chase.
I think if you've seen anything though in the current state of how cards are produced, it's quite the opposite. The cards are not coming out perfect. They're coming out far from perfect.
But what if Fanatics, you know, they use a company that uses a AI cutting approach, you know, like the hybrid cutting approach where the cards are all cut straight every single time and every single card is made exactly the same way. Maybe they make them where they're not on sheets anymore. I'm just spitballing here, but like then the cards are, if you send them into an AI grading, then everything's going to be a 10 because it's all going to be perfectly centered because the cards were made perfect. I'm just saying you need to have an eye appeal on somebody.
You would hope the technology is already there, right? So why are not cards produced tens already? The technology needs to be, the technology, it's not even needs to be, it's already there.
It's already there, but these guys have been using these same printers for years upon years upon years.
And
the printer has a guaranteed money, so why are they going to try to update what they're doing and spend any money on their machines? But you get a new player in town who's like, we're going to just make the machines ourselves, and they're going to cut the cards perfectly every time and eliminate the process of grading.
Don't you want perfect cards?
Then there's no use for grading.
Cool. I'm fine with that.
And then you got companies like
maybe there's no use for umpires anymore. Maybe you have the batter and the catcher decide what if that was a strike or not. You want to slow down the game? How about we have a discussion if it was a ball and strike every pitch?
We should.
Hey, was that? You think that was a strike? Ah, no, it was a little low. All right. I get the next one though.
But what I'm saying is there still has to be an element of chase. You can't just grade every card perfectly. And regardless of what these companies say about their artificial intelligence or the way they grade, they are not giving out tens every day. There's an algorithm that they're probably using. And I'm just saying, this is alleged. I've never been behind the scenes on any of these companies' stuff. I have never been to PSA. I've never been to BGS. But you got to think, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, you got to think that if they've already graded 10 Herberts and they gave in 10 tens, they're going to really scrutinize that next one.
I agree with you. I think the population actually comes into account in grading more than the condition of the card.
Yes.
And I know that sounds insane, but I think the population report, what they've already been given out, comes into play more than the actual condition of the card. Think about that. I think that actually comes into play.
I
think if you have, like, if you've graded, let's say, 100 Luka Prisms, right, and there's been 90% tens, then there has to be some nines in there.
Yeah.
You got to be like, okay, well, there has to be some nines in there.
I know that's not transparent, but it also, you have to have chase. You have to. It's almost like grading is another gamble.
Because you've seen the way, and I'm talking about PSA specifically right now. Really hard to get a 10.
Yes.
Now, is that because they got AI going on that they haven't actually told anybody about? Or are they looking at pop reports and they're like, look, we have just been giving out too many 10s. It's been too easy to get 10s. We got to pull it back a little bit. And I honestly don't know the last time that we submitted and got a 10. We don't submit a lot. But I remember when we used to submit a fair amount, you would get almost a percentage of tens. Now, like, we've sent stuff in and gotten sevens, and this is out of, like, new products.
Yep.
We've gotten sevens. Seven was like a PSA 7 5 years ago was like you had to put it in your bike spokes to get a seven. You had to literally just like step on it. You had to like go out of your way to make sure it was going to be a seven. Harder to get a seven than it was a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, my opinion, we're about to talk about PSA here as well, some news out of their camp, but it felt like, you know, we rewind the clock to episode hype number two. BGS was the standard. I was on board. I was BGS. He was BGS. You were BGS.
Still BGS.
Right? So then people started submitting some more to PSA, and people were getting 10s. And the 10s were selling for more than the 9.5s. The collector base saw that because back in the day, PSA was vintage. You sent vintage pre-1980 to PSA. You sent anything 1980 after to BGS. Well, the 10 started popping more regularly. I don't know if that was a business strategy. I'm not saying that. I'll let you guys think about that at home. But more 10s started popping. Now the scales tipped where PSA was getting a lot more cards than BGS. And now it's to the point where PSA, maybe just throwing out percentages, was like 70-30, right? Well, now PSA is like, whoa, we can't do as many 10s as we used to, right? I don't know if those discussions are happening internally or it's just human nature that they've like, man, this is the 15th Herbert I've seen today. I cannot give another 10. Mm-hmm. I cannot give another 9. I've already given 10 9s. I got to give an 8. I just can't give that, but you know, it's human nature. And I think it was just the popularity of PSA that made it a lot harder now to get those grades. But to get them to that point, they gave a lot more 10s. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic on how that happens. But what do we got out of PSA's camp?
PSA, all we know right now, there hasn't been an official announcement about when PSA will be resuming their standard grading services. Some rumors are saying that maybe early next year. Nothing has been confirmed. They have lowered prices for express orders as of late and increased services for trading card game cards as well, which obviously that's big because I think part of the reason that a lot of these companies, the two big companies, probably decided to shut their doors, at least for some of their regular services, is because of the influx of stuff like Pokemon cards and trading card game stuff for, you know, people who were just coming into the hobby again, or people who found their Pokemon cards in their parents' garage or their basement. By the way, I should mention HGA also is kind of zigging while these companies are zagging with they having new like personal card collection pricing where they're not authenticated. They're just like, we'll throw it in a slab for you for about $15. So they're kind of angling.
Can you custom name like Doug's collection?
That I don't think they do. It's just simply like, hey, if you got a personal collection of Allen Iverson cards that maybe won't grade well, we'll slab them for you $15 each or something like that. So they are trying to kind of, I think they are clearly seeing the future when PSA and BGS are back and they're like, well, we have to then be the company that's like, we'll just slap
something
for you where
like
it's going to be way cheaper. So, but back to PSA. Yeah, they are no formal plans announced yet for right now.
Look how great that slab looks.
What's the state of PSA right now?
It's no.
Look how great that slab looks.
Honestly, it's no.
Lighthouse technology.
It's no BGS.
It's great.
Beckett has the best looking slabs, and that's just fact.
That's the Lamborghini, and then the BGS is a Corvette. So,
I mean, I will say, like, going back to what you were asking me before, Dan, about like how Slab brought up like HGA, like you can just, like it seems like somebody could just easily Photoshop that. When the PSA slab originally came out, and now remember this was a long before HGA, like this design now to us, a lot of us collectors, it's like although it's not a fancy design by any means, and it's not gonna wow you, it's at least a easy to understand, clear, nice looking basic design, where HGA is like they're trying to get off.
It's comfortable.
I feel like aesthetically it's not pleasing. Like HGA is just like, I feel like they're trying too hard with their label.
Yeah.
It's like the Coca-Cola.
It's like
too
like
busy.
It's like a pair of like just comfortable old jeans.
Yep. It's like Levi, right? It's the Levi of card grading companies.
Not Levi Stadium though.
I know it is no.
Don't rub
stadium.
It in with your fancy Allegiant Stadium.
Hey man, I've seen the best. It's kind of hard to not.
Well, we'll have a better stadium sooner than you at some point when we're 60. But look at that card on this.
Back to Candlestick Point we go.
I know. Here we go. Going to do it outside again. Beckett, and I can't see. Cody knew how to get to me because I don't like the Beckett slabs, but I absolutely 100%
pristine 10 Barry Bonds
love that card.
Win you over.
That's that slab And it, and I and I'll agree. Like with the with the market, the PSA is they are top dog when it comes to the market, based on monetary value. And they have surpassed Beckett by far.
But not on these or the black labels.
But Beckett slab, I know it's not rounded, but it is the best, in my opinion, the best looking slab on the market. It is meaty. It's a meaty slab.
It is. I mean, and that's the other element is the big bang, you know, high risk, high reward type deal that it, you can get a black label if you think your card is perfect.
Never gotten a black label.
Never gotten one either. I have a few I purchased, but.
Why even talk about it?
But that's a whole other level.
It's a unicorn. It doesn't exist.
That's a whole other level. I think the PSA 10 refractor Kobe, I think, was, I don't know, I think it was like 80 grand, but then the black label went for like 700,000. So it was like 6 to 10 times the amount of the PSA 10. But wow, they're so rare to get. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like pulling a super fractor if you're able to get a black label. And I'm sure, I don't know, I would just assume that if they're thinking about giving a black label, I think it has to be probably ran through some steps.
Do you think PSA comes out with a counter to the BGS black label?
I don't think they can.
Like
anymore.
A 10 plus.
10 plus.
I don't think so.
11?
11? The Spinal Tap edition?
I'm into that. By the way, BGS, the only PSA has still not announced any formal plans yet of resuming normal service. At least BGS has at least teased the idea. They have tentative plans. They said possibly in October to increase one more service, bring back one more service. And by January, the hope is that they will resume regular service.
Okay.
Despite the fact that their president at the industry summit said, quote, we have enough grading work for the next year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say decade.
He might have been playing it cool. Like, look, we got 10 years worth of cards here. Now, all of your graded one Charizards and Lucas are all sitting somewhere.
Well, now here's
by the time Luca gets in the Hall of Fame, we may be able to get to your card.
I know. I've heard multiple stories of like guys that are finally getting their Tyler Heroes back, and it just they lost X amount of dollars because
the Price is Right horn.
Right. Well, they submitted him right before the playoffs, and obviously he was killing it. And then last year he had a down year, so they significantly dropped. My question, and I don't know this, and I should have been more prepared here, is I know PSA upcharges based on the amount of the card. Does BGS do that?
I don't know, but I will say this, and for the two main companies, BGS and PSA, it's safe to say that the bulk submissions, the days of bulk submissions doing cards for $8 is a thing of the past, right?
Should be.
They'll probably never go back to that bulk submission where it may take 8 months, but it's $8 a card or $12 a card, whatever it was. There's no way they can go from a $300 service to going back to a $12 service, right?
I think it's like 50 minimum if I had to start to guess.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever get back. So those are the good old days. That's over.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know specifically, if you guys watch our video,
I think BGS does something similar to that too.
Yeah. And for those of you guys who are wondering about a giveaway, we got a giveaway coming up. But I did want to mention that when you guys may have seen our video on Mojo Break Media where we broke 0304 with Joe Staley. And obviously, last pack, super lucky, we hit a LeBron refractor. So we were right next to PSA. You could hear it in those videos. You can hear this every second. And Angel gets his swings, and they were making $1,000. But they took the card from us right away. And based at the level that a raw card would go for, I think LeBron at that point on refractor was around $20,000. So we had to pay $1,000 for that turnaround. They came back to us about 2 hours later, and they said, good news. You owe us another $1,000. And I'm like, thinking to myself, why is that good news?
Congratulations. You win giving us more money.
Yes.
Only in this industry is that okay.
Wow.
You're going to be excited about this. You owe me $1,000.
Think about that proposition.
And the thing is that...
Ridiculous, bro.
You are. Because you're like, did I just hit a 10? Did I just hit a 10?
Right. So the sliding scale from a 9 to basically any card over... any card over $25,000 to $100,000 is a $2,000 service level. So we had to give him another $1,000. So now I'm like thinking, oh, wow, maybe we got a 10. Now we're... Now we're talking.
That's why you feel good about it.
Down payment on another house or another business of some sort, right? And so, yeah, another $1,000. We did the reveal, and it was a 9, which is a $35,000 card, so to speak. So it's like kind of like PSA is getting a piece of your sale, but I haven't sold the card, so... What if I never sell the card? What if I wait 10 years and it's worth nothing?
And the tricky thing about that is that it's not like they were taking a risk and like shipping it to us.
Right.
Like they were going to physically brought the card over to us.
Yes.
So there was no risk involved of like, well, we're going to be on the hook for the value of this card if they don't get it.
Right. This was
so
at the
National. That is one thing that should have been waived because I think they try to make it. They try to make it sound like in their terms and conditions, when you actually do submit cards via FedEx or UPS or USPS, however you do it, that they want to charge you that extra money in case they're out of you getting the card back.
Right.
But when you do it in person, they were just going to come over and hand the card. So I don't know if I can get down with that.
Yeah, it's
but
definitely
weird.
But
what are you going to do? You can't deny that, can you?
No, because you don't get your card.
Yeah, so it's like, well.
That's why I was questioning. Maybe if somebody knows, and I'm going to know off air because I'm going to look it up, is if BGS does the same thing.
I think they do something similar.
So for what it's worth, SGC, CSG, I think they definitely deserve some recognition. They have all services are still available at both companies right now. They are taking advantage of this. CSG has now approaching 1 year of sports card grading, and of course they did other grading before that.
Yeah.
So there's no quantity limit for them right now. I think it's worth mentioning SGC now, the graded SGC Onis Wagner is the highest selling card ever. It's an SGC card. It's not a PSA. Yep. It's not a BGS.
I think in terms of like where you're talking about after PSA and BGS, the company I place the most faith with is SGC.
Interesting.
Easily.
Get off my lawn. Yeah. I mean, SGC has been around for a while. I remember back in the day they had the 99s, the 96s, the 97s on the vintage stuff. So, but yeah, the CSG is real thick to me. There's just too much going on the top of the card.
The label is too thick.
Yes.
But when you actually hold the slab in your hand, it feels great. Like, you could tell it's from a high-quality company. Like they know what they're doing in terms of grading, and they do because they're a comic book grading company, right, for decades now.
Yeah.
It feels like it's CSG is the closest, like, if you want to get a PSA-style slab, but you don't want to wait for PSA right now, or you don't have the money to get the premium one, I feel like CSG is the best alternative in that case.
Could somebody come up with a company that is not three letters?
Just 15.
BGS,
what, two letters,
PSA,
one letter?
SGC, CGS,
well,
CBS, ABC, Fox.
CRAD 6.5.
I'm CGS.
CGS.
Because I'm not CSG, I'm CGS, Conrad Grading
Service. Don't even do that. That's just too confusing.
Just do CRAD 6.5.
I think there is a CGS, by the way.
There probably is.
Oh, there is?
I think so.
I'm suing.
What happened, like, you know, back in the day when companies used to be like AAA, so they'd be top of the phone book? That's what you need, AAA grading.
Yep.
You know, then
AAA grading. Yeah.
AAA grading.
All right. So this story broke earlier this week, and it is a 2021 downtown Justin Herbert, which is an SSP out of Donruss. And there's an artist by the name of Bobby Alcid, who claims his artwork was stolen, and he makes a pretty good case for it. So you can see, if you're watching the video, you can obviously see it on the screen. If you're listening along on Spotify, which we appreciate you guys, and iTunes, wherever you listen to our podcast, it's a downtown insert, and it has Justin Herbert, and then in the back it has three like kind of guys in some Charger uniforms. And the guy that made it made some stuff for the Roast the Ravens. And you can clearly see that the art is exactly the same, just kind of flipped. This guy claims that that Panini stole his art, and he did not get paid. I don't know if he's reached out to Panini, if there's a lawsuit that's going to happen, but you can kind of clearly see that it's the same art, just flipped around, and some of the colors changed to match Justin Herbert's uniform. So, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, I think it does suck, and you know, hopefully they can compensate this guy for his work, because it is some pretty cool stuff. What are you seeing here, Dan?
I see the similarities. I'm not a copyright infringement lawyer, so I don't know where I stand on it. I definitely see what the artist and what you're talking about, but yeah. I don't know if it is infringing on any copyrights.
Well, I mean, there's the whole Vanilla Ice thing and David Bowie case, right? Where, you know, Ice Ice Baby sounded like, what's the song by David
Under
Bowie?
Under Pressure. Did he lose that case?
I think Vanilla Ice won because he had the...
Really?
Yeah, because he had the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
He won, but he lost in the court of public opinion.
He had the extra hi-hat hit in there.
That was always the sting. Okay, buddy. I think this is pretty cut and dry. Like, this is such a ripoff, and it's not like this guy is nobody. Looking up his stuff a little bit, he's a former artist for Pixar and Disney. He did storyboard art for like Nickelodeon. He's currently working on other big projects. Like, this is not... He doesn't have any reason to pick a fight if he doesn't need to, basically.
Right.
So the fact that he's coming out and being like, hi, this is my stuff.
So he came out.
Yes.
And was like, it was brought to my attention that my art is on these cards without my consent.
And the irony of all this to me is the fact that, remember a few months ago, kind of tying it back with one of our first topics, HGA on that Tua card put the art, that little art in the little, banner that was ripping it off of another artist without their permission.
Right.
With a Downtown Tua card. And now here's Panini on an actual Downtown card doing the exact same thing.
I know. It's totally ironic.
At least with HGA, you're like, it's a new company. Maybe they just didn't know any better. Panini, though, they got to say something.
You figured that with the design portion of... There should be like some checks and balances where this doesn't happen. Obviously, if there is, it was missed. I mean, did we look at any other Downtown cards to see if there's...
Unless the artist claims it, it's really... I don't think you can Google image search a specific piece of the card. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that obviously there's one person that knew that they did it. Now, no one else at the company that probably looks over the work is going to go like... I remember seeing Revenge Roast of the Ravens on the internet, and that you took that. So it was probably the designer. We've been to Tops. I have not been at Panini. And there's a bunch of cubicles of guys doing Photoshop work. And, you know, Panini has to crank out a lot of – and I'm not making excuses, but this guy could have been, you know, working 10 hours a day. He's under some deadlines, and he's like, you know what? I got one more Downtown to do. Let's try to do it as fast as possible and get out of here. Not thinking that this is ever going to come to a fruition where he's going to get caught.
But
probably knows now.
Are those characters used on every Downtown?
No, it's just specifically every Downtown is unique.
Unique. Yes. So like, it's not like they use those same characters in the background. They just put like the different color jersey.
No, I mean like the Kyler has like something to do with Arizona. Maybe with some images on there. They obviously use the... I think that's the gas... Is that the gas lamp? No, it can't be because it's L.A., right?
No, that's like Hollywood. You got the Santa Monica Pier there, it looks like.
Yep. Right, so they kind of use the theme of the city.
Like, Griffith Park looks like the...
I know some Niners just have the bridges
trees
in the back.
And whatnot. Yeah. It's very L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, so this guy probably was running out of ideas on what he could put on the card, and he went with some stolen imagery. And, you know, back to the QA, I don't think anybody else inside Panini would have caught it because they wouldn't have known that these other images existed. I mean, to me, it looks like the guy goes along with the Downtown art, but obviously it's stolen art. So hopefully they compensate this guy.
I believe that would be the right thing to do.
You know, so... You're probably like making excuses for Panini. I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm saying that they maybe the people in the comments. Panini pays his bills. No, they don't. But
no, you just said that Panini should compensate them.
They should. They should absolutely compensate them.
You didn't say like.
But I'm trying to look for reasons on how it happened, and I think how it happened was a guy was overworked, and he took the easy route rather than coming up with his own work
but
or
what
hiring
do you,
his own work.
But what do you do? Like, you Google football...
Chargers art.
Or football characters.
Yeah.
Football cartoon characters, and then just be like, I like it. I can plug that one right in there.
I don't know.
Right-click that image, drag and drop.
Yep, Photoshop it out.
I mean, Do you think? Do you think we're talking Google search?
I mean, we don't know. Maybe there's more cards out there that have utilized other pieces.
Or maybe,
of artwork.
Maybe I'm not. And this is total speculation. Maybe this person is represented by somebody else, and they actually sold that art to Panini.
You don't know that either.
Right? I know. I said speculation. You don't know.
Maybe
he has a manager or has a firm that he works with, and Panini basically was like, "We're gonna buy this." Without him knowing about it. He may have gotten paid indirectly somewhere, but it wasn't like a direct payment from Panini. It was paid to somebody who manages
or
it.
Or there's websites.
We don't. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know.
There's also websites like Getty Images where you can go and pay for images. Maybe Panini has a portfolio website that they have images like clip art like this. And that company had it on there. So you don't know that. Where the guy feels like, hey, I'm doing some royalty-free stuff or I'm using it for business purposes. And then it was an instance where this got used by them. So you don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know if like a third-party source firm, marketing firm, whatever, sold that art without the artist knowing about it.
Well, we may want to talk to the artist because that lightning bolt looks awful close to one of our original lightning bolts. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
One of our original lightning bolts?
Yeah, from 2011.
Yeah. I mean, and there's people I've been contacted constantly. Like, your guys' lightning bolt was amazing. Like, can I use it? And I'm all, never.
No.
Never.
That's all we got is a lightning bolt.
That's all we got.
All right, we got Guess That Price, the moment you guys have been waiting for. We also, before we get into Guess That Price, we are going to do a new giveaway this week. We've got our a giveaway winner to announce for this week, and Cody's got the name.
Roger L., congratulations. I think he said he would invest in Jameis Winston. Not sure how that's holding up this week, but hey, who knows?
Got you the win.
Everybody can have an off week. It's fine.
It's okay.
He'll be good.
He had one throw where I was like, he's back.
And
he just threw it to nobody and just like, whee, let's see what happens.
Yeah, what happened to LASIK? So the giveaway this week is it's going to be around Bowman Chrome. We're going to give away a box of Bowman Chrome Hobby. I want to know who your favorite Bowman Chrome or Bowman card is. It could be something from 2009, 2010. Mine is the 2008 Buster Posey. That is my favorite Bowman, the Buster Posey Auto. I want to know what your guys' favorite Bowman is. And maybe it's a guy that didn't even make the league, but it was just somebody that maybe you saw a minor league game and you're like, I gotta collect his cards.
Boof Bonzer.
There you go.
He was in the he was in the Joe Nathan trade.
I believe he was.
And Francisco Liriano?
Yes.
For AJ Pierzynski.
Yeah, didn't work out.
No.
Didn't work out.
No.
By some cosmic some terrible cosmic joke, AJ Pierzynski, Joe Nathan, both on the same first Hall of Fame ballot next year.
Oh my god.
How'd that work out?
Joe Nathan. Yeah. Could be a Hall of Famer.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. He might be a Hall of Famer.
I think he could be.
I think it'll take a while.
I think I think you probably get some before Barry. No.
Boy, you want to talk about words. Really sticking in the knife and twisting it.
We need another segment. We need another Doug Rant on that. No. All right, let's do Guess That Price. I'm excited.
All right, here we go. Let's start off the C-Rat special to start things off. A pristine Black Label 10.
Gold?
Derek Carr, neon green and yellow. Neon green and yellow from
Must
Prism.
Have been retail.
Number to 50.
Yes. Number to 50.
That is a number to 50. Pristine Black Label 10 Derek Carr rookie auto.
When did it sell?
This sold, I believe, just after the second win.
Ooh.
Yes. This sold when Derek Carr was a 2-0 quarterback. A lot of recent Derek Carr sales of big cards lately.
I mean, I get it.
How does he do it?
Not sure if that's Vegas Dave, but hey.
He's been goaded. You know what I'm saying? Hold on. Let me put mine
in. I got mine locked in. I got my first one.
Okay. I think I got this one.
All right. So you're so confident. I think you should show. Well, is Red locked in? All right. What do you got, Dan?
All right. 7,200.
Jesus Christ. 3,333.
Okay. Well,
5,700.
You guys lost that one.
Doug, can you repeat yours one more time?
3,333.
I'm 57.
All right. Actual price, $9,999. Dan, on the board.
That's entirely too much for a Derek
entirely
card.
Not enough, apparently. I would. I undercutting by.
Oh, wait, that's Derek? I thought it was David.
That's not David.
That's
not the man they chanted his name in.
That right
Europe.
There, Doug, that is a black label.
That's true.
That's a black label.
Pristine 10 black label.
That is a black label.
And no disrespect to Derek Carr, that might have been the worst Prism design I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's an ugly. I don't know. Do you think maybe it's Oakland Raiders and it's Oakland A's colors? Does that play a factor?
Maybe.
A little Oakland love?
I love that. I think the fact that it's a pristine 10.
It's
so hard to get a pristine 10.
No, it's 100% because it's
pristine. Well, this I'll tell you what. This guy got blessed, too, because he was probably holding on to this for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he might be into that card for $115.
The amount of...
I'll buy it for $3,000.
The amount of NT Derek Carrs I saw sell within the last week on eBay is wild.
Vegas Dave's cashing out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Card number two, a little bit different here. Max Scherzer, Topps Chrome rookie refractor. It's raw. It's not an that's a printed auto, not a real auto. A raw rookie refractor. Max Scherzer.
It's a facsimile.
Might be winning the Cy Young again this year. That's
not
a facsimile.
Not
a real auto.
And not numbered. Just a base.
It's not numbered.
Not numbered.
It's just a
refractor,
base refractor.
Just a card that was sitting in somebody's shoebox.
Yep.
Whoa.
Somebody went, hey, this. And I mean, it looks like it's in great condition.
All right.
It may grade really well.
I gotta use the.
Oh man.
Guy might be winning the Cy Young award this year once again, the way he's pitching. All right.
Man, I think you kind of got me on this one, Cody.
This is a
tough one.
It's curveball.
Throw
you a curveball. No
raw cards. I didn't see them. Where's the grade?
All right, here we go.
All right, you won. You gotta go first.
Dan had the winner.
And then you got
$175.
Okay.
$250.
Okay.
I almost put that, but I put $350. $350.
Actual price, and I'm not joking. I think it had about four or five bids on this. $1,025, and it sold recently.
You said it had four or five bids?
Not four or five bids. I'm just saying.
The centering on that is not great.
Hey, it's a rare. There wasn't a lot of cards printed back then. I mean, I know my Max Scherzer cards.
Doug, still up by that $700.
As much as all of us were.
Who knows?
Doug's like, I'd take three of them.
Was it paid? I don't know. That's not what we're here to confirm. We're just here to read you the prices.
All right, wow. I need to win this one so that none of us can win.
Clearly, I might actually have that card lying around somewhere. I clearly need to go find it.
I
had a Max Scherzer Stadium Club auto. I think it sold for like $20.
Yeah.
Rookie.
Well, again, he's in LA now, and he's doing really well. So that's probably part of it.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right.
That's crazy.
Back to football.
I think he bought it himself.
Yeah, right. Number to five. 2018
Ooh.
Prism Gold Vinyl
Ooh.
Sam Darnold rookie Ooh. Card. It's a PSA 9.
And we talked about Sam Darnold in the upcoming Mojo Break Blitz. Make sure you listen to that.
It's my least favorite design in Prism.
And this sold after week two?
I love that Prism design.
This has sold, very recently. Amidst the Darnold Sons, I'm going to call it.
Not the design. It's the fact that it has the super factor film on it, and it's numbered five. That breaks my heart.
That stinks.
Breaks my heart. Is it?
Yeah, PSA 9.
Mint 9, huh?
Mint 9. Sam Darnold, gold vinyl.
Okay. All right, I'm locked in.
All right.
I remember I was trying to buy some Sam Darnold over the summer, and I remember being shocked at what the prices were still, even though they were obviously cheaper than his rookie year.
There's a reason I wrote down $3,333. I didn't have to write it down again, and that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
$3,000, huh? All right, I'll go
$2,100.
$855. Oh, you're way low. Yeah. Dan, I'll tell you that right now.
He's kind of a scrub.
And again, this is after his 2-0 start. Actual price. $11,000. $11,000.
Do they not know that
what the hell's going on.
They don't know. It's
people
number
are going crazy.
One, it's numbered to five.
I think
so it's
that.
it's got four buddies.
But the description
that
said five.
It's got four buddies who are
you
are out.
Way off again, Doug. You won by default.
I think people freaked out and thought, oh my god, it's a one of one. But it's not.
No, yeah,
that card
that doesn't surprise me.
That
actually.
Card a year ago is under $1,000.
No, not a thousand.
Dude, it's
maybe
Sam
like
Darnold.
Two to three.
Well, I can't completely win yet. Somebody could tie me.
The lowest his silver's got, and I get it that your silvers were low, but the lowest his silver, like a PSA 9, is like $500 then.
$11,000? Hey.
Only five.
You
of them.
Can't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't pay 11 grand
no,
for that card.
No, of course
card.
Not. I wouldn't. No,
11,000.
I would pay 3,300.
I'd pay $855.
All right.
Of Mojo Breaks money, not even my personal money.
Doug
I could.
Or no.
No.
Dan
Doug
could
needs.
Die. Dan could tie.
Dan Doug
could tie.
Needs one more. Dan could still win.
Yeah.
Dan if he gets the next.
Oh,
two,
that's
he
true.
Wins.
I celebrated a little early.
You celebrated
here.
A little early.
The next one. The next one will be a. Solid guess.
All right. This is from 2020 WNBA Prison. Sabrina Ionescu.
Her rookie year.
It's a rookie.
It's a Mojo Prism. What's a 25?
That's a Mojo Prism Refractor rookie card. It's raw, but it is in a nice
protective. We need to get Greg in here. He's the
a nice
WNBA
case.
Breaker. He might know better than I do. Let's...
Sabrina Ionescu. Everybody was chasing Sabrina Ionescu cards last year. They were the biggest.
Also, only because Crystal Dangerfield wasn't in there last year. When she was.
Any relation to Rodney?
No. I have no idea.
Other than apparently she gets no respect in the. All right.
Wow, that was a softball. That was a good one.
That was pretty good.
All right. I guess I got to go first, right?
All right.
2,900.
Okay. 2,500.
Ooh.
$3,850.
Ooh, we're close.
Actual price. C-Red is on the board. $1,999.
$2,000.
$2,000. $2,000.
That was a good deal.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
And it's the best refractor they make, too, Mojo.
Very good. All right.
So only Dan can tie me, right?
Dan can tie.
Or no, C-Red can tie me now, too.
C-Red and Dan can tie.
Yeah.
I don't have a tiebreaker. I picked an odd number specifically
to
avoid this, and here we are.
We have three.
All right, but here we go. Really throwing a curveball here.
Oh, man.
And it's an HGA graded.
Oh, my God. That's a precious metal gem.
That's a precious metal gem.
I would kill for that card.
Of what?
2013.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Upper deck metal precious gem. Precious metal gem, excuse me. Marvel. That would be Thanos
from bro.
A from villain Avengers. From the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
See, now I really need that monkey to
Avengers,
type up some
Infinity War, right now. Endgame. It's a big
that
deal.
That is amazing.
Played
is this
by
the
Josh
first,
Brolin.
First PMG Marvel?
I don't know of any other Marvel PMG set, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it is.
I saw Curry Volt. He has a sick...
HGA 9.
Dude, have you seen Curry Volt's Instagram?
Pass.
He has a Star-Lord PMG.
Pass.
It's so sick.
Nice.
Who's the best
live actor, Star Lord?
Oh, really?
Who would be the best Marvel character?
Yeah.
I feel like Thanos would be up there. Mm. Guy has become like he's
recent
like,
sale.
He's like Darth Vader for this generation of kids. You know, it's the same level. Mm. Probably like Spider-Man though, or Wolverine.
I'll tell you something. These cards are rare.
Can I wait for C-Rad to go first, and then I put my name?
I just threw a number out there, and it could be. It might be dead on.
HGA 9, Thanos, all upper deck.
Right. I want, so I go first.
Hold
yeah.
on, hold on. Jeez, dude, I don't. I know
put
you got
$1.
At this point,
I know, I need to strategize.
I don't know
huh?
if we do Price is Right rules, but if we were, it might not be a bad
all
idea.
Right. I got it.
All right, here we go.
All right, I'll put see right at the $750.
$750.
Oh, crap.
I put $1,500.
$1,500.
I put $5,700. Because it could be.
God, we're experts.
It could be 5,700.
I feel like I'm kind of low now, but I was, yeah, 750.
Right. We are not doing Price is Right rules, so let me do the quick math. I think
so
I know the winner, but I'm just double checking.
Oh.
We're about to do Rob Scissors actually who wins.
Yeah, I don't think we're just doing the math between Dan.
Right? Dude, I Conrad's like, it's rare, man.
It is rare. But the you know, the Marvel collection community is
people like Marvel.
Actual price. $3,500. Doug is the winner. Woo! Doug is the winner.
Also, he was calculated between
by $300.
That's bullshit.
Dan, if Dan had said 5,400,
that's right,
I
baby.
I was gonna go. I was actually gonna go. I was gonna go 52, but I turned my two into a seven.
That's $3,500.
I actually had five written down.
So what is that card as a BGS 9 or a PSA 9? If that's an HGA 9 at 3,500?
Yeah. 5,700.
Probably.
That's very informative for me because because you don't even see these on eBay really. Like so it's like I don't even know what to go like what do you go off of?
Yeah. It's yeah, I picked it cuz I literally don't think I've seen any cards.
Is like that out of got to be out of like Skybox metal, right?
Is that Fleer
metal?
Is that box we still, is that stuff we still have?
Oh. No, it's out of 2013.
Oh, it's an older one then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I thought too, but I saw the
I wonder what
slam.
Year Star Lord is from then. But
all right. I'd like to thank the people I stepped on to become another champion here at Guess That Price. I'm kidding. That was fun.
I'm
we're gonna
hoping,
do it again.
Does that thing act, maybe it's just turn the heat on? I don't think it's like I don't think it's warm enough in here yet.
Well, that about does the show today, guys. I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in, playing Guess That Price. Make sure you hit subscribe here on Mojo Break Media. Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's make it a cleaner ending.
Okay. I don't think I mentioned the downtown thing anyway, so we could, you know, we don't have to do it.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Did I mention it?
No, we didn't talk about downtown. We should go over I thought we were going to go over. Isn't there the downtown slide?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just go ahead and do
that. Let's do the ending
first.
Like
we'll do the ending. Cody's got a bunch of edits now. All right, guys. Well, that does it for the show. Thanks for playing along with us for Guess That Price. We do these sporadically, and we try to do them at least once a month. So, but once again, mojobreak.com for your breaks, mojobreakshop.com for your wax. Pre-sales going on all the time there. We're breaking on Instagram now. Follow us at mojobreak_com there. And till next week, thanks for tuning in to The Hype.